This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
O'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Jack Caglia, still no?
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, not yet.
Dude, he played right field for the first time last night. Had a sexy throw in. Nice. Okay.
Thank you, Mac.
Why can't I? Royals swept the Rockies. They've won four in a row.
They beat the Rockies.
Come on. Yeah, so now we're going to have this energy?
That. Yes.
We just talked about on Monday, go sweep the bad team.
They did.
They did exactly what you wanted.
Right, they did. You never get credit for doing what you're supposed to do. I cleaned my room, so? Yeah,
good job.
Great. That you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to sweep the Rockies.
All right. I guess we're not talking Caglione or the Royals.
Kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
That is the music for the Out of Left Field question, sponsored by no one, but someone could step up at any time. Fellas, we gave it on the other side. 913-586-7965. Tough night last night for Shedeur Sanders. Does not get drafted. I'm sure at that point he wished he could, like, teleport anywhere. But if you could, who would you want to trade lives with? Anybody in the world?
Besides Josh Klingler? No. Matt Damon.
Wow.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm. Matt Damon. That's a good one.
Thank you. Always been my man crush, man.
Okay.
Like,
really?
You know, yeah, just, I think the guy lives a great lifestyle. He's been in great movies, got everything
movies
you possibly want. Like, just, he just seems like awesome. It used to be Justin Timberlake back in the day, but that's aged out now.
That's gone downhill
Gone downhill fast. Derek Jeter would be another good one to trade lives with. His batting lineup has been pretty solid. and so he would be one that would be on my list as well.
That's a good one. Yeah, not a lot of strikeouts in his lineup.
No.
He's been hitting some home runs for a minute. I'll go an actor. I'll go Chalamet.
Yeah.
Chalamet.
Mm. You thought you were Cougar Chow now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'd like to trade lives with Mac, man. You're Cougar Chow.
Mac's awesome.
Yeah.
No, but Chalamet, he likes sports. He sits courtside at the Knicks games. He's in great movies.
Got the babe.
Yeah, he's got the babe.
So do you, though.
It's true.
You're like you're like the Kansas version of Chalamet.
That's exactly right. I'll take it.
McAmory!
Now get me courtside at an NBA game. Or WNBA game, maybe. Who knows? See what happens.
Speaking of the WNBA, that's where my Richard of the Week is coming
Ooh.
From.
Deep tease. I'm excited.
I can't wait
Catch
to give you
hour.
My Richard of the Week in an hour.
Dustman?
Yeah, I mean, I think Guy Fieri.
Great answer.
I mean,
great answer.
We're rolling out. We're looking at Fesco, Mac, and Dusty. I mean, greatest job in the world. It's that or Seacrest.
Ooh, yeah.
Seacrest works too much, and so does Guy Fieri.
Not
they both work way too much.
It's not working when you love what you do.
Oh, okay. That's what they tell you, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I get to go to, like, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and kick it and try awesome food and be able to bleach my hair and still be considered cool, have guys grocery games. I mean, dude, the guy...
It's all right. Yeah. He's fine. You know, I don't
You're
hate
neutral.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
I am. I'm neutral.
We're looking for America's favorite diners, drive-ins, and dives.
The guy that you really want to change places with is Jay Glazer. That's the guy.
Not really.
Works one day a week on TV, doesn't deal with social media, makes a great boatload of cash.
True.
it helps people with mental illness. Like Jay Glazer, for me, that's the guy. He's got it figured out. I don't want to do 10 different jobs. That's stupid.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
I should have traded places with Carson Beck.
Yeah. You wouldn't have messed it up.
No, absolutely not. Roses, red carpet.
Exactly.
Crystal. Drawn credit that I debt that I wouldn't be able to pay. Whatever you want, Miss Cavender.
What do you think about this one from the 816? Steve Harvey? Works too much?
What's he doing now besides Family Feud?
Yeah, I would say he only does Family Feud, right?
I thought he does a court show with his eighth wife.
He does a court show?
I thought they did like a Harvey Judge show.
I don't know. Just doing Family Feud would be good, yeah.
What if in like the courtroom he was just like, survey says guilty? John Mayer's a good one.
John Mayer's a nice one. Nice, very nice one. Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He's got a good anthology.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be the host of Wheel of Fortune if you're Ryan Seacrest.
You know what? I'm watching Travis Hunter up there right now and seeing the joy, and we were talking about that last night, like how excited he was and some of these guys to get drafted.
Yeah, he's not going to Cleveland.
Just trade places with any of those guys who showed that genuine excitement last night to be drafted. And Travis Hunter, obviously, is the first one that comes to mind because he was the second guy picked. And he's out here dancing and doing all this. And he's realizing right now, I'm going to Jacksonville. I got no expectations. There's no fans. So Travis Hunter would be a good one to kind of trade spaces with because he's going into the NFL, into a situation where he does not have the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Somebody from the 816 says, I'd trade lives with whoever is dating Sydney Sweeney.
Good one.
Yeah.
Great one.
Yeah. Somebody says, Big Cat from the 816. He just pulled that Jordan rookie card.
Oh, is that who you were? Is that who did that?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Said it got scored an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
He's like, do I sell it? Do I retire? Or do I keep going? You always keep going.
Keep going.
Is the name of the background music called Green Onion? Yes. By Booker T. Somebody says, I trade places with Roger Goodell.
Hell yeah.
What's he make a year? Like 20 million?
No. Oh, it's like less than 40 some million.
Okay. Yeah.
He makes more than just about any player in the league.
Yeah,
damn.
Sweet guy.
Yeah, no, he does. Look, his salary is like quarterback salary. And deserve, I mean,
it goes up every year, too.
It's a $23 billion a year industry.
Commish. What's he making?
Approximately, so we don't know, but $63.9 million a year.
Oh, that much. So he's making more than anybody, any player in the
Samsonite.
NFL.
Samsonite. I was way off.
And I can tell you, he probably deserves to be making all that money because of the money that he makes for the owners and for the league. Again, it's a $23 billion a year industry. 10 years ago, they were like a $10 billion a year industry because I want to get this to a $25 billion a year industry. And they all laughed at him. They're at $23 billion with like a year to go before that 10 years is up.
Mac would trade places with Adam Silver because he would be able to fix the NBA.
That's exactly right.
How would you fix the NBA?
No more 9 o'clock starts. I'm figuring something else out.
Already got Bob on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, Bob's ready to go.
I mean, look, again, we keep comparing things to the NFL, and we've got to stop doing that, you know, because it's a once-a-week sport. It's noon. It's 3. You got your windows. There's just no way if you're doing weeknight NBA games on the West Coast that you can start games any earlier than that because in the West Coast you're starting at noon, which would be fine to me. I wouldn't care.
All in on that.
Yeah.
I'd be okay trading lives with Victor Hovland.
Golfer?
Yeah. Single, stud. To know what it's
single,
like,
nice.
To see what it's like to hit a golf ball like that, to be that good at your craft.
What about Tiger?
Nah, not now.
Not now?
No. I'd want you to respect my privacy.
Yeah, it's fair.
My privacy. Somebody says John Daly.
That's fun.
That's
a
good one.
You got about 8 left.
Not a lot working. Yeah. 8 years or 8 days?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I don't know. Yeah. Somebody says, I'd trade lives with Rob Maloney. It's a busy life.
He doesn't really work, though. I mean, the guy sits around bars and eats all day.
What a guy.
What a job.
What a G.
I mean, like, I've got to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating, like, pastrami quesadillas.
I ate my chicken fingers last night like somebody was going to steal them.
Oh, yeah. Covered him up. Dude, no one touch him.
Growled at people. And all Rob was doing was coming over to grab the mustard. And I was like,
packed place last night at the Landing. It was awesome.
It was so good. Thanks for the drinks, Rob.
I would also trade places with Jack Caglione, who, by the way, did you know he played right field?
Oh, yeah.
He played right field last night, and eventually one day he's going to play on 96.5 The Fan, the home of the Kansas City Royals. But Jack Caglione last night
played right field.
Thank you. All right, let's go to break. Coming up here, we're going to go through the AFC West picks, and you guys are anxious to see who my third pick is for the Chiefs' Mount Rushmore of their draft of all-time players. Better than talking about a guy who's a figment of your imagination. Next.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, we're living here in Brettfeeds Town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and more. And our sacks are coming from Chris Jones. Ty's making plays, we need more parades. And we're living here in Brettfeeds Town. Living here in Brettfeeds Town.
Dusty, they say that song is often imitated but never duplicated. Often imitated, but never duplicated.
Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
This thing on. Okay, we're back.
I love it. Stay convicted, Jay. Stay convicted to your disdain. Jay Binkley waited all day and got the only guy that he didn't want.
Listen to the excitement in Unicero's voice and how
he knew where this was going to go. Yeah.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Is there anything better? Hate this pick.
Lucy, you have some splaining to do.
Oh, my God. It's so good, right? Oh, it's just the best. He is so despondent over this pick, and I love every minute of it because we love Jay. And, yes. And we knew for a month he did not want this guy. Like, literally, you could have picked Shador Sanders at that spot, and Jay would have been happier than going with Josh Simmons. I love the pick, guys. I don't know how you feel about it as the morning has kind of progressed along. If you guys love the pick, if you don't love the pick, feel free to weigh in on that. Everybody's got their opinion, right? But I love this pick. I think it fits a need, but it also gives you the opportunity to let this guy heal and get ready before you have to utilize him. And it's I don't want to use the term a luxury pick because I hate that term, but that's kind of where the Chiefs and the Eagles, for all intents and purposes, were last night with their picks. They were kind of making luxury picks. The Eagles drafted a linebacker that they coveted who's a top 10 pick but fell because he has a banged up shoulder. The Chiefs drafted an offensive lineman who should have been a top 10 pick but fell because he was banged up. And both of those organizations got their guys at the end of the first round. And I know there's people are wondering, why would the Eagles trade one pick to get a guy that the Chiefs were not going to take at that point in time? They sensed there were other teams trying to jump in there and trade with the Chiefs to get that guy, so they came strong to Kansas City to make sure that they got their guy. It wasn't the Chiefs were going to take that guy. It was like, I don't know, I'm just going to make up a team. Baltimore or New York or somebody was probably calling the Chiefs, and they sensed that. They're like, we got to get our guy. Others are going after this guy. We're willing to give up a fifth-round pick to move up one spot to get the guy that we wanted.
I don't know if this is, like, true. I saw a couple of, like, quotes on X, and it was like, Roseman called Veach and was like, can we swap? And Veach was like, offense or defense? And he was like, defense. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
And so they went.
I could see that happening.
I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I saw it from a couple of different people. But, I mean, if you're like offense, you're like, no. Because we don't want you to take Simmons. But then it's like, yeah, we're going to take a defensive guy. And it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Word is bond. Alabama linebacker, Ohio State lineman. See you in the second round.
And you say word is bond. And I'm sure a lot of people are rolling their eyes at that statement. But if you lie to another general manager in the NFL, they're never doing business with you again. And you know what else is going to happen? They're going to tell everybody else that, hey, we had a deal in place. This guy lied, and nobody's going to want to do business with you. So those guys are pretty upfront about it. It's not as covert as you think, because that is the logical question. Hey, Brett, we want to move up and get the 31. We'll give you 32. Why? Who are you taking, right? And you have that conversation, and if it's the guy you want, hell no, we're not making that kind of move or position or whatever the case may be. So, you know, it's a logical conversation, and hey, we beat you in the Super Bowl, fine, here's our fifth round pick, let us move up and take this guy. And so they've got a relationship, obviously, with them all being together in Philadelphia at one point in time, so you probably have a little bit of a trust factor there. Right. As well. So it worked out well, but it wasn't because the Chiefs were going to draft that guy. It's because somebody else was trying to jump in there and grab that same player in Philadelphia. It's like, whoa, hold on a second here. We want to get up there and grab that guy.
Yeah, I'm not mad about the pick. We were talking about it earlier. It's in the, you know, maybe something we could start in the future, but it's in that must be nice sort of category because, you know, I would say that, you know, you look at this sort of pick and you have now in-house competition, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. You have maybe Juwan Taylor. Let's start on right side, right? He's in a contract year. I think we're all in agreement that the plan is probably not for him to continue on this team unless something crazy happens. It's a good year, and he's like, you know what? I want to stick around for a cheap. That's not going to happen. That's fairy tale land in football. So he has to produce to get that next contract. He right. knows that. The only way to get that is to absolutely show out and let people know that, yes, you figured out the penalties. Yes, you know how to play right tackle. Somebody will pay you money. Mm-hmm. You're going to be on a successful team. You're going to have a lot of the limelight on you. And there's also the Moore kid they signed out of San Francisco. Here's this kid
right.
who's like, my whole career so far, I've been behind, you know, the best in the league, Pro Bowl, Hall of Famer, left tackle. I finally got my chance in Kansas City. And with the first pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select Josh Simmons, offensive tackle at Ohio State.
Right.
Okay. So now I've got to get myself in this sort of, you know, realm of, am I a left tackle or am I going to be moved to right tackle? Because if I get moved from my original position to another position, that means I got one more strike or I'm out the door or I become a project and I don't get what my ultimate goal is. And that is longevity in the NFL. Very tough to do. What'd you say? Average career is 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
So here's his opportunity. And oh, by the way, they're drafting a rookie at Ohio State who's got, you know, the patellar or the whatever, the Ray Peculiar injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are talking about that. And, you know, I think it creates good competition with your roster. And if you take the super side plus side of it, Mahomes is 30 years old this year. This kid is what, 23, 24? Mm-hmm. No, he's not that old. 22, 23.
Right.
If he does live up to expectations and he does have a good first 4 years in the league and you don't want to get to that fifth year option and he is a left tackle of the future, by then Mahomes is 34 and 35. I know the world goes fast. It really does.
It does, yeah.
And the way that Mahomes plays that style that he plays now at the, you know, age of that we've seen from 24 to 30, you know, 23 to 30, that doesn't last forever, right? Like, I'm not saying that he's going to eventually become just a statue of himself and be three-step drop, one-read, throw it. But eventually that improvisation, that Superman style of play, you know, that you know, you're going to need stability at left side. And if you do that, then the possibility of being locked up at left tackle, center, and right guard as your, you know, your red wall, then all of a sudden you can take your career to that final stages and be like, you know what? I'm going to end in Kansas City because I'm protected with people that I know and trust that they have built this team around. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, Xavier Worthy, he's maybe the one they keep over Rashee Rice. I don't know. They draft somebody else. Somebody eventually will come along and be a skill set of tight end. Who knows what they do in the second round today, but you can kind of see like this is top of the line, what could happen? You have a future left tackle, center, and right guard for the rest of your future with Mahomes as a quarterback. If it doesn't work out, then you can live in that negativity of like he could be a bust. I mean, I know there's that. There's also the fact that he could be an all-pro or Pro Bowl left tackle for 6 to 7 years. We don't know the answer to that. We know that the Chiefs evaluated him with their medical staff. They took this pick. consensus top 10 pick if the injury's not there. You got him at 32. Mm-hmm. You got three picks right now in the second round. Let's see what this team can do moving forward.
Well, and I also think, too, the best case scenario is that Jalen Moore comes in here and plays his ass off at left tackle, and then you send Josh Simmons to the right side. And now you've got a superstar on your left side in Jalen Moore who emerges this year, and now you've got a second-year player in Josh Simmons as your right tackle. Now you're set at your tackle position. I think those are the best case scenarios for all of this, is to see something like that play its way out. And I would love that. And I don't care if Josh Simmons is a first-round pick and you're expecting him to play left tackle. It doesn't matter. As long as this guy goes out there and produces and the team wins games, I don't care, you know, what side of the ball he is on, or what side of the line, I should say, he is on. So that to me is the best-case scenario, is that, you know, Jalen, what's his name, Juwan Taylor, ages himself out, and he's done after this season. And now you've got two tackles that you can rely on going forward, and we're not in this position again. I think, you know, the Chiefs probably got to that point as well where they're tired of this tackle situation being up in the air every year. And so let's go
had a say in that as well.
I would imagine. And so what they did is they went out and got who they believe was one of the better tackles available in the free agent market. They signed him, not to a huge deal, so it's not a big time contract. Mm-hmm. And now you drafted a guy. And so now you're setting yourself up, you're setting your tackles up to be very good moving forward. And that's, you know, ultimately what this is about. Give yourself the opportunity to let your wide receivers go out there, because if it's going to be a high flying aerial attack, like we talked about earlier in the week, and then Patrick said yesterday the same thing that we were discussing on Monday or Tuesday, you've got to have an offensive line in place to give the quarterback the opportunity to get the ball downfield. And if the offensive line isn't doing its job, obviously, then nobody's going to be able to do their job. So that's kind of where I stand on that. I don't care where this kid plays, when he plays. This is a very nice pick for the Chiefs. And, you know, people call it the must be nice category. Yeah, they've worked a lot of years to be in this category of must be nice.
Yeah, I mean, you're either born into it or you're, you know, you work yourself up to it.
That's
to
right.
You get to that category, must be nice. Fortunately for us, the Chiefs worked their ways into it. We remember the 2-14 seasons when you had GMs that didn't know what the hell they were doing. Now you've got a guy who I think is trying to set your team up. And like Derek Johnson said earlier, he's the best player available, 32, take it.
Take him, yeah.
So yeah, nobody was really, I say nobody. I mean, I don't think a lot. I think the majority of people, if you were to pull, you know, 10,000 Chiefs fans in Kansas City, yes or no, what, or, you know, did you like it or not like the pick? I think probably 90% of people would say they like it.
I'm going to be honest with you here,
it's
man.
Lower?
Like, no.
Oh.
I think it's higher. The only person I've heard so far that doesn't like it is Jay.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen anything or heard anything, or I'm sure X is filled with negative Nancys because that's just where they hang out.
Yeah.
But I other than Jay, I haven't heard anybody very vocal about not liking this pick. I think a lot of people do like this pick. I think a lot of people get swayed by what's being said after the pick is made on ESPN or NFL Network, whichever one you decide to watch, right? And I'm watching ESPN last night, and everybody loved that pick. All the quote-unquote experts love that pick. And I'm like, okay, these guys like it. They know more than I do on this subject matter. I like it, too. I liked it going into the draft. I thought that would be a good pick for the Chiefs. I thought that would be the guy, if he was there, to take. Even with that injury, you have the luxury, if you will, of not having to start him right away and not having to get playing time right away. So the pick just made sense on so many different levels for the Chiefs. And you can't live in this world of, oh, he may be a bust. 53% of first-round picks are busts. That's more than half of the first-round picks over the last 20 years, roughly, 15 years, that have been drafted that are busts. It's a big number. It's 53%. It's more than half. So 32 guys were taken last night. 17 of those guys will most likely be busts in the NFL. You just hope that your guy isn't one of those 17. You hope he's in that, you know, that 15 category of guys that are really, really good. And for all intents and purposes, I don't see why Simmons can't be that guy. He's coming from a big time school. He's a big time player into an organization that does a great job of setting its players up to have success. Look at the difference between Tyreek Hill here and in Miami, right? It's not just the on the play. It's the way you act off the field and the way you set these guys up for success on and off the field. This organization does a great job of setting players up and giving them every tool necessary to be successful. If you can't be successful in Kansas City, that's on you, Kadarius.
So let's talk about picks in the division. Because we can go there. Denver, Mitch made a really good point. Jahdae Barron, is that how you say his first name? Did I mess that up? Jahade, I don't know, Barron, they took the cornerback out of Texas with their first pick at 20th overall. You go now pair him with Surtain Jr. and or the second, and then you put that defensive line up there, that could be a problem.
That defense in Denver, man, I'm going to tell you something.
Right.
It's going to be hard to score on them.
I'll tell you something, man. And then obviously, no secret, the Vegas Raiders take Ashton Jeanty, which is what I figured they would. It made sense. They take him in the first round. It was a pick that we knew that the Raiders were eyeing, and they took the running back out of Boise State. And then there's the Chargers, right? The Chargers took Amarion Hampton, which now we get to have that fun. It's not us. It's
tells
them.
You what they think of their quarterback. Obviously can't win with that guy. So you got to get a running back.
I don't think that's the take. I think he's,
that's my take.
But no, Chargers and Jim Harbaugh, it's no secret. He loves to run the football. Najee Harris.
Cocked and ready to rock.
And Amarion Hampton are both now in that system. Look, if you're going to have to beat the Chiefs, these are the three ways that they did it. The Raiders went at it with superstar power. The Chargers went it with, we're just going to milk the clock and never give you a chance. And the Broncos went with, we're just going to upload on our defense. So three teams in your division, tired of losing, I think approach their teams in a way of how they want to show that they want to try to suffocate and get out of this black hole of losing in the division. Mm-hmm. The Raiders now have Jeanty, Brock Bowers, and they bring over Geno Smith. They have Pete Carroll. They're going to try to bring in that sort of Marshawn Lynch sort of tight end, big body, catching options for Geno Smith. You're then going to look at the Chargers. They're going to have a spearheaded backfield with a running back that was a stud out of North Carolina and Najee Harris trying to prove something out of Pittsburgh. Plus they've got Herbert and Ladd McConkey. They can be, that sort of offense. And then you look at Denver, man, they're going to try to just absolutely shut you out. And that was a game that came down to a blocked field goal and then a game that didn't matter. Chips are on the table, and you can see where the AFC West is going.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. The AFC West is, in my opinion, now the best division in football.
It's exciting.
I mean, yeah, it is. Well, yes and no. It's exciting if you're an outsider looking in. I kind of like running roughshod over the AFC West and having losers there for the last 10 years. It's been kind of fun, but they got tired of getting their ass kicked, so they stepped it up a little bit. Like, the Raiders are actually operating like a real football team. It's bizarre to see. They haven't been a real football team since the early aughts, right? And so they're acting like a real football team. Denver's got a defense that, I mean, good Lord. And then you've got the Chargers, who still need a quarterback. But other than that, I mean, they're doing some good things out there as well. You win the AFC West this year, it's going to be the hardest it's ever been to win the AFC West, and it will be the best winning of the division that the Chiefs have ever had, knocking off everybody in the AFC West, because they're all locked and loaded. There's no cupcakes anymore, man. You don't have the Dolphins and Jets on your schedule twice a year.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
So
it's today.
Let's say this guy pans out at left tackle and Josh Simmons, and he is here for 8 to 9 years.
Well, Eric Fisher gave you what, 7 to 8 years? Mm-hmm. He was drafted in 13, and his last year was 20, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you think he has a possibility to be in the top 4-5 draft picks if he pans out at left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs of this, like, Veach era?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's hard to judge an offensive lineman, unless you're Anthony Munoz or you're, Orlando Pace.
Where do you put, like, Veach's top picks right now? If you ranked his top 4 picks?
Well, if I'm looking at the organization at a whole and what they've done, their top 4 draft picks as an organization in the history of their organization, three of their top 4 have come in the Brett Veach era. And I think Derek Thomas is the only outlier. If you're putting together the 4 greatest draft picks in Chiefs history, Derek Thomas is on that list. He's the only one that's not in the Brett Veach era, in my opinion. You got Mahomes, you got Kelsey, and you got Tyreek Hill. And I know Kelsey and Hill, I'm talking the Andy Reid, the era that we're in right now of Chiefs football.
Well, John Dorsey drafted Patrick.
I know, so I say the era that we're in right now, right? Like this Andy Reid era of Kansas City football has produced 3 of the 4 best draft picks that this franchise has ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Chris Jones, Tyreek Hill.
I don't have Chris Jones on the list.
I know, I'm putting him on the list because I think he is one of the best.
He may be, yeah. I mean, it goes to show you, like, you continue to add names, right?
Yeah, he's the best defensive tackle this team's ever had in its franchise.
It's hard to judge against a bunch of Hall of Famers right now. That,
but
that
he'll
play,
be there.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that he will be a Hall of Famer. He's won 3 Super Bowls, too. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the big leaders of this team and stayed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's, I mean, great problem to have.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that just goes to show you how good they have been under Andy Reid at drafting. Like, Carl Peterson was good, but Carl Peterson would have, like, really good drafts and a really bad draft. Really good draft, really bad draft. Now we're not seeing that. You know, Carl had arguably the most important pick in franchise history by going out and drafting Derek Thomas when he did and turning the entire franchise around. They don't take Derek Thomas. They don't turn the franchise around. They probably are in L.A. and we may not have a football team. And that's not hyperbolic. That is reality. This was a dying franchise until Carl Peterson came in here and rescued it and turned it around to where it is. And everybody since then has built off it. Pioli tried to take it down a little bit, but everybody else is, you know, kind of built off of what Carl Peterson did to kind of lay that groundwork. So Derek Thomas being the first pick of that era and being the perfect pick of that era to turn this franchise around, he, to me, is the most important pick until Patrick Mahomes came along. And then you put in, you know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, a fifth round and a third round that have turned into Hall of Famers for you.
We talked about him earlier. This was Todd McShay on Ash and Jenty.
Six to the Raiders. And now Pete Carroll gets his Marshawn Lynch, gets his beast mode, right?
Right.
What's interesting to me about the
now, hopefully gives them the ball.
The Raiders
and
the
Super Bowl in the line.
They think they're closer than the rest of the league thinks they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everybody does,
right. We
Todd.
Said he was a luxury pick for all these teams. Apparently the Raiders think they're running back away.
Because you just brought in a turning 35-year-old quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Geno Smith. One of the worst offenses in the league a year ago, but you bring in Geno, massive upgrade at quarterback. You bring in Ashton Jeanty, massive upgrade at running back. And now you're kind of cooking.
If they are cooking, it'll bring up the next topic that we will discuss in this show, because the rookie of the year odds are out. Who's the favorite? Bob will tell you. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Moving right along on a Friday. We're almost there, boys. We're almost there. Hour and 14 minutes, and then you can kick back and relax, watch your children, hang out with your fiance, and I will be at a happy hour by 4.
Nice.
By 2. By 1:30.
Exactly.
It's Friday. Best day of the week.
Easy.
Overcast. Don't have to worry about getting sunburned on my neck when I sit at the outside bar. You know what I mean? Sipping those beverages, sitting on the patio, surfside it up. Should just start playing like swag surf, but then I'd probably have to play like a generic version of it so I don't get, you know, bumped. So Bob found rookie of the year odds already.
Already out.
After the first round.
Degenerates just vying to bet this.
I feel attacked. have you looked at the list?
I've not.
So they got offensive and defensive rookie of the years.
Okay.
Do you want to take a stab at who offensive rookie of the year is? The fave.
Offensive rookie of the year.
And remember, it's just not guys who were drafted yesterday. It's after the first round odds now.
Ashton Jeanty?
You're right. Yeah.
Okay. And then defense is Abdul Carter?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
2-1 Abdul Carter. Now, Cam Ward comes in at number 2 on offensive rookie of the year.
Gotcha.
2-1.
That poor man last night.
Travis Hunter, 7-1 for rookie of the year on offense.
Ooh, okay.
But he's 5-1 for rookie of the year on defense. So maybe your interesting bet could be Travis Hunter to win both of those. You know, that kind of little parlay right
that.
There, right?
Damn.
You can do that. You got, Shador Sanders, 25-1, him and Jackson Dart with the same odds to win offensive rookie of the year.
So I like that Amarion Hampton won at 12-1.
12-1 is a pretty good one as well. Yep.
Going to get a lot of volume in LA. He's got to be number one in the dynasty drafts, right?
Well, I thought so too. And then I was like, oh dang, I forgot they signed Najee Harris too. So that kind of is like, maybe that's less reps for him. I don't know.
It's could weird. Be.
Yeah.
But, you know, what if he starts to emerge or something like that?
Exactly.
All right, fine. We're going to go in our separate directions. But who do you like on that list? Do you think Ashton Jeanty is the number one guy right now?
Heck yeah.
I don't like his odds.
I don't like his odds either. And he's plus 175. So it's not like great return on investment, right? What do you think? What do you think would be the best, like, I don't want to call it a long shot, but one that you can like make some cash on?
I mean, you could definitely make some cash on Amarion Hampton at 12-1 right now. Ty Warren's an option, 25-1. I mean, he'd have to ball as a tight end because, like, we saw what Brock Bowers did, and he still didn't win.
Yeah, right. It's tough. I mean, I think it's got to be quarterback, running back, wide receiver.
Yeah, wide
right?
receiver's did got Bowers a chance. Did Bowers win it? Bowers won it.
Yeah, Bowers did win it. So yes. You have to put up a Bowers number. If
well,
you
no,
want to, no?
Because Daniels.
Yeah.
Daniels.
Yeah, so, yeah. And Bowers did what he did. So
exactly.
You would lean towards quarterback.
But there isn't going to be a quarterback who I don't think is going to put up that kind of.
Exactly.
That's a very fair point.
You know, so like you kind of take the quarterback out. Maybe Cam Ward does something. I don't know. I'm not huge into Cam Ward, but he is a quarterback. So people are going to lean in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, and I hate that because, oh, he's got QB next to his name. So it means we got to vote him for everything. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't.
These guys that haven't been drafted yet, there's a good chance they get drafted to really good teams and good situations. Who knows? Maybe Judkins comes into a great situation and he's the RB1 by week 3, and that's just an easy 50-1 bet right now. And all of a sudden by week 4, he's, you know, 4-1. Tet McMillan at 11-1 with the Carolina Panthers. It's him and Leggett. Get a lot of usage. We saw Bryce Young for the last 7 weeks of the season start to look
a little bit better. Little bit but better. You're also relying on, like, when you bet a wide receiver that the quarterback's going to get him the ball.
Part
like that's the part that, like, that's why everybody picks quarterbacks for everything, because you're basically dictating everything that you do as a wide receiver tight end. You're relying on that quarterback to get you the ball, and if you're playing with, you know, a stick in the mud like Daniel Jones, it's going to be hard for you to get that offensive rookie of the year. You know.
I think the fun bet to make is to have, like, if there is a combo bet that Travis Hunter does win both awards.
Yeah, that parlay would be great.
That's got to have a lot of juice. Like, a lot of juice. Because that's probably never happened before in the NFL.
No. No, you just can't play enough.
Yeah. But that's the problem. It's like, where's the volume? Like, is he going to go out there and be, like, 975 as a slot guy and have 11 touchdowns as a rookie? And then have just absolute shutdown mentality as a corner that covers the slot receiver as well. Because, like, what better way to learn how to play each position than study yourself? Like,
that's it. Yeah.
What would I do as a receiver in this situation if the slot's playing me here? Okay, if I'm the slot, what would I do if this receiver makes this move?
Well, it's nice, too, because when he's in practicing defense, it's like, hey, bro, you're going to go up against Brian Thomas Jr. Good luck.
Yeah.
It's good reps.
And Brian Thomas Jr., you're going to go up against Travis Hunter.
Yep.
Welcome to the league, kid.
Yep. Yeah,
this guy was in it last year as a rookie. He's already miles and miles ahead of you with 1 year of experience. That's nuts. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
To think that 1 year in the NFL and you're just that far ahead of somebody like Travis Hunter.
Huge difference.
I mean, it's massive.
It's a huge difference. You already know what works and what doesn't work. It's a huge difference. Yeah.
Golly.
Jackson Dart at 25-1 is a waste of money. I mean, Brian Daboll last night. First,
you didn't see the baby
I didn't see the baby puke yesterday. That's fantastic.
Yeah. He got a little shooken up when he got drafted.
That is fantastic. The Jackson Dart, when Brian Daboll starts his press conference yesterday and says, Russell Wilson's our starter, like immediately let everybody know that Russell Wilson was the starter. So if you're betting on Jackson Dart to win Rookie of the Year, you're either A, throwing your money away, or there's some catastrophic injury where he has to play, and I still think you're throwing your money away on that one.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'd say the same for all the linemen. How do they even get on this ballot as Offensive Rookie of the Year? In what world is Will Campbell or Gray Zabel winning Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Well, Gray Zabel may, because last night this guy gets drafted and they're going to have a party with Bush Light. 90 minutes later, they ran out of Bush Light. So, like, that guy
rest easy, my heart.
That guy, Gray Zabel, could become Rookie of the Year. But you're right. How does an offensive lineman get Rookie of the Year? Like, what do you have to do as an offensive lineman?
Run out of Bush Light?
Have 100 pancakes in a seat? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, how do you get to that level where you're like, okay, that guy is the Rookie of the Year? Like, when was the last time we had an offensive lineman come into this league where we all went, oh, my God, this guy is just better than everybody else? Like, Quentin Nelson
comes to mind, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Other than that, name another one. You can't,
no.
Right? Like, so to have these guys on the list at 500-1, fine, you want to throw a couple of bucks on them to do something like that, great, but that's, again, wasting your money.
Yeah, waste
who
money.
Won the stage last night? Will Campbell? I'm going to spend the rest of my life blocking for Drake May, crying. Travis Hunter just getting down, knowing he's not going to go to Cleveland. He's going to go to Jacksonville, Florida. Or Matthew Golden. Like, could you imagine getting picked in Green Bay as a wide receiver to be like maybe a future year franchise, chanting go Pack go, and they gave you the microphone.
It's awesome.
I mean,
that was a fantastic scene. That really was. Awesome. It was so cool. Like the CEO of the Packers, Mike McMurphy, or whoever the hell that guy was, getting up there and going, for the first time since 2002, like a direct shot at Aaron Rodgers, we're taking a wide receiver. And the place went nuts, and that guy was there, and he came out, and everybody celebrated. Like, that was cool, man.
Did Rodgers go 23rd overall, too? Or was he like 24th, 26th?
Hey, maybe 26th. He was right around there. Yeah,
he was in the 20s.
He was in the 20s. I
mean, go, Pack, go.
He the Bears still suck!
Which was awesome in and of itself, too. Like, that's how you know the NFL just embraces fun. That's not going to happen at the baseball draft.
No. Clay Matthews setting the stage off.
Yeah, and everybody went crazy. The other good thing about last night, too, is after Green Bay picked and made their selection, that crowd dissipated, man. That thing, that cleaned out fast last night. Now, there's no reason to stay around, right?
According to the 913, Travis Hunter to win both is plus 5,000. If you want to be Shohei Ohtani and you want to start that narrative and give it actual some sort of legs to run with, you win both of those, then, man, not going to happen. But could you imagine? That'd be nuts. Coming up on the other side, you know what time it is. It's 9 o'clock. It's Richard of the Week. Bob already teased his heavily earlier on. We'll get to the Richard of the Week on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Dusty Likens here. You know me. I'm a golfer.